I am old, but I'm not that old to say it's never been like this before. But you know what? It's never been like this before. You young people here tonight, it's like, what? It's fine, right? No, it's not fine. It's not fine. I encourage you as a church, I encourage you as a Christian, get spiritually prepared, because you pick the topic, and I can turn to chapter and verse of the Bible. You want to talk about the immigration issue? I can show you in the Bible about lawlessness. You want to talk about violence in the streets? I can take you to Matthew chapter 24 or Luke 17. You want to talk about what happened this week with the Russians in Aleppo? I can take you to Isaiah 17. Something's up. How many of you ever heard, be honest, how many of you ever heard the saying, the writings on the wall? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of it. Let's be honest. Put your hands down. Please be honest. How many of you have never heard that before? The writing is on the wall. Okay, the reason why you've never heard it, it's because it's a biblical phrase that is that floats in cultures around the world. It's a biblical phrase. It's from the book of Daniel. Belshazzar didn't see the writing, or he saw the writing on the wall, which means his God, the Bible says that God wrote on the wall in front of him and all of his leaders of his providences, and it was announced to him, the end is near upon you, Babylon. And it was. That night, by the way, the Medo-Persian Empire invaded that night. And this is not biblical history alone, this is actual secular history. The Medo-Persian Empire walked in under the Babylonian gate. As they blocked up the Euphrates River, it dried up the river, and they walked in without firing a shot and conquered Babylon the Great. One of the great military victories of all time. And from that is the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall in the world around us right now. I was reminded a week and a half ago when I was in Canada that the Canadians, you know, and I love the Canadians, but the Canadians view the Americans, and I was told this on a flight, on a plane. Oh, you're an American? Yep. Go away. Whoa. What is that? Well, you guys are warmongers. And I said, we're warmongers? What do you mean? Oh, you guys go around and start wars everywhere. I said, no, we don't. But we do blow people up in their country who's planning on blowing us up first. That's actually good warfare. Most nations do that, you know. Did you know that? If you know that your enemy is going to come blow you up, then you blow them up before they have a chance to blow you up. That's called defense. Every football player knows that. And so I was kind of taken back by that because I love Canada big time. And we had a little conversation going on there. And so it was really punched clear to me when in Canada, I was talking to a young man, very bright young man, owns a business, by the way, loves the U.S., and he said, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble here because our former prime minister, Stephen Harper, you can look him up later, by the way, Stephen Harper was, or he is, a believer in the Lord, but he's no longer their prime minister. He was booted out. Trudeau has been put in place, which, by the way, President Obama sends on a regular basis advisors to Trudeau because they're very close, he and Obama. And so the Canadians have a new leader, but Stephen Harper was warning the Canadians, and they didn't like it. Harper warned the Canadians that the United States was getting weaker under the policies of Barack Obama, and the Canadians needed to create a viable Air Force and military strategy. Because he said, we cannot always depend upon the United States as we always have to protect us. You see, we would have never let anything ever happen to Canada. And the reason why is because they're our neighbor. And so the Canadians enjoyed safety because no nation would be allowed to invade them as long as the United States was strong. And Harper knew that. And he watched, he saw how America was getting weak. In fact, open mic, you can look at it on YouTube, at one of the international gatherings, Stephen Harper, while him and Obama were speaking at an event, Harper leaned over and told Obama, "Obama, you need to read your Bible more." That didn't go over well. But that's good advice for any of us. We need to read our Bibles more. And Harper saw the writing on the wall that Canada's days were numbered if America went weak. But they voted him out. They didn't like that kind of talk. And now America, as you know, I know we're supposed to say that we're the lone superpower. I personally do not believe that. I love America and I love our military, but I do not believe that we are the sole superpower. There's nothing you can do to show me that that's true anymore. However, Canada's nervous now, really nervous. But you know who's more nervous? You know, South Korea, they are freaking out today. South Korea depends upon the United States to protect them against North Korea. North Korea wants to take South Korea. If you're Taiwanese, you're saying right now, hey, throw us in that group too. We're terrified because we don't know if the U.S. has got our back anymore in Taiwan. You know who doesn't know what to do? Because they don't have the money to do it now. Because after World War II, we signed a treaty to defend Japan against all enemies. Did you know that? After we punched the snot out of Japan, we rebuilt Japan, and then we said, we'll never attack you again, and we won't let anybody else attack you. We'll be your buddy. And now we ain't their buddy because we can't. The South China Sea. China's claiming the South China Sea as their territory now. You want to know why? Because they can. Have you seen what Russia's doing to the North Pole, to the Northern Caps? They're declaring it their own. You want to know why? Because they can. This is a very, very serious moment. You want to know why? Look, we all live here in Southern California. The last thing you want to do is be out in the water and scratch yourself or tear off a scab or hurt yourself on your surfboard and start bleeding. If you're bleeding in the water, you ought to get out. Yeah. And the enemy smells blood in the water. They smell how weak we are right now. Obama is down to his last couple of months in office. He ain't going to do a thing. Iran knows that. Russia knows that. China knows that. This is a very serious moment. And some nations right now are very desperate for things to change. Some nations need things to change really bad. I mean, so do we. It's just not fun anymore to talk about change or to talk about candidates. We don't have the luxury of goofing off anymore about that stuff because it's gotten down to critical state right now. And because the United States is so weak. Michael, you got to turn that thing off, man. You're driving me crazy. So here we are tonight, which is amazing to me. Tonight we end. It just ended an hour and a half ago. Yom Kippur ended today. We're in the fall feast of the nation of Israel, which is an amazing thing. Part of the fall feast, by the way, is the Feast of Trumpets. But we're in an interesting time right now because we're watching and we're looking around the world. And number one, the world is leaderless, except if you want to, probably the most powerful man in the world right now is Vladimir Putin. The Russians control the airspace in the Middle East since we withdrew from Afghanistan and Iraq. We got out. In fact, we even told the enemy we're leaving on a certain day. Obama published the date. So they just waited. What a brilliant thing to do. Why shoot yourself up? Why get in trouble? Just wait until the date comes. And so the date came. And ISIS steps onto the scene. The JV team of terrorists, we were told. And so their goal is Syria. They almost have it. They control much of Iraq because we left. And Afghanistan is just complete lawless. And their sight is on the destruction of Israel. But they have concluded to do that, we need to back off from Israel. To destroy Israel, we have to pull back from Israel. ISIS, its strategy is now end. Help by whatever means necessary to destroy the United States or to make it crippled enough so that it cannot defend Israel. And then we'll get both. Good move. That's why there's, according to the FBI, in all 50 states, there are numerous ISIS cells that the FBI is aware of in communities all across the 50 states. That's not hype. That's a law enforcement fact. And if you are and I know we have some of them here, if you are a DHS agent, you know that along our southern borders, there are 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper that have been cut in half, and on one side in Spanish is instructions on where to go for California sanctuary cities. And on the flip side is the exact same information written in Arabic, strewn by the tens of thousands of leaflets across the deserts of the southern border, including California. What's going on? And then 10 hours ago, and I don't know if I just asked the guys just a moment ago if they could find it because you wouldn't believe me. But did you know 10 hours ago, Vladimir Putin picked up his phone at the Kremlin and said all Russian diplomats worldwide are to come home immediately back to the motherland because the world now by this action is asking the question, nobody does that, unless that's why the headline says, could he be planning for a war? Diplomats are packing up and heading back to Russia at his command. Can you all hear me? Yes. If I were Putin, that's exactly what I would have done 10 hours ago too. You want to know why? The Russian economy is in the toilet. Russia has never done well economically. Communism doesn't work. I know that. I know our university professors don't know that, but they've been educated beyond their intelligence. But for most working people, they understand that communism, socialism doesn't work. You say, well, he's not a communist socialist. Wake up. This is KGB, Mr. Vladimir Putin. He knows exactly what he's doing, on top of the fact that Russia and its economy is doomed unless something happens. Russia sits on a vast amount of oil. The type of geological structure that is under Russia is very difficult to get oil out of the Russian ground. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's something like for every dollar, it takes about 93 cents. Russia's got to spend 93 cents of a dollar to get oil up to the surface to put it into a barrel. Saudi Arabia spends about 5 or 6 cents out of a dollar to get oil into a barrel. The United States used to spend, I think, I'm going from rusty memory, about 15 cents. Out of a dollar to get oil out of the ground into a barrel. Are you with me? Listen, the goal is to get oil into a barrel as cheap as possible. And Russia just doesn't have the technology and they don't have the wherewithal to do that. And for years you were hearing, rightfully so, by politicians, rightfully so, that we need to get off of our dependence on foreign oil. You ever hear that? You ever heard that? You haven't heard that in the last year and a half, have you? You're not going to hear it anymore. You want to know why? Because people with brains saw that environmentalists were keeping the United States from drilling. Remember drill, baby, drill? Do you remember 8 years ago or 4 years ago? I think it was Sarah Palin that said, drill, baby, drill. We need to get back to drilling. We need to be independent of foreign oil. But the environmentalists stopped that. But you know what? We're Americans. We just go back and think of something else. At least that's the American. That's how I was raised anyway. So people went back and they started thinking and they said, well, if we can't drill because the environmentalists might think we might kill a rat or something, then we'll figure something else out. And this crazy word for this crazy technology surfaced called fracking. And now you've got states that possess oil in the United States more than most countries of the world. You've got states like Nebraska and South and North Dakota and Montana that have become oil-producing motherlodes. And all of a sudden, America goes to being the number one oil-producing nation in the world. Did you know that? We're sitting on forever oil and forever natural gas. That's a blessing. Israel did the same thing. Israel's now rising to be an actual... Israel's becoming a super nation. They're nuclear powered. You know, Israel is... Did you know Israel is water independent? Did you know it doesn't have to rain in Israel again forever? Did you know that? I wish California would learn this, but they wound up, crazy idea, sucking water from the Mediterranean and desalinization of that water now waters Israel. I think they're the second or third largest fruit and vegetable producer in all of Europe in the Middle East. Israel. It's the size of Lake Michigan, the whole country. And now they sit on Leviathan. They have found Leviathan, what might be the world's largest natural gas. Why are you saying all this? Bible prophecy is true. And America is nowhere to be found in Bible prophecy. How can that possibly be? What is soon to happen to us where the United States will be irrelevant on the world scene? God continues to bless us, but something's coming. Obviously, I'm not a prophet. I would never pretend to be one, and I have no inside information, but I wouldn't be surprised if between now and January, when is the next president sworn in? What is it? Is it the 20th? January? So, if I were Putin, I'd call all my diplomats back home too, just in case America does something. Because according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, Russia's going to move into the Middle East. I got news for you, they're already there. We cannot fly any longer. Ladies and gentlemen, we dominated the airspace of the Middle East until about 6 months ago when this administration surrendered it to the Russians. You say, well, so what? We shouldn't be there anyway. Well, here's the so what. Israel knows, like the Canadians and like the Japanese and like the South Koreans and like the Taiwanese, that America no longer has their back. We are this close to world war. Why? Because Israel will not back down from its existence. It won't. And Russia, we know that Russia in Ezekiel 38 is going to get an idea with the surrounding nations that Ezekiel names by name that are on your globe today, and all of them are Islamic nations. The Bible says they're going to attack Israel, and the Bible says they'll never make it. The Bible says they will reach the mountains of Israel, which means they'll get to the region of Mount Hermon, Israel's highest peak, 9,400 feet high. And the Bible says that when they go to launch, when they go to attack, it says that God will send their projectiles back upon themselves. That is one serious GPS mishap. I mean, imagine that. But I personally believe that America would have to be either severely distracted for that to happen, or very terribly disabled. Could it be? Wouldn't it be wonderful if America was terribly disabled because the rapture happened? That would be great. I just don't know how many. That would be great, but I don't know how many believers there really are in America that would make that such a catastrophe. For real? I mean, think about it. You want to believe that the freeways would be empty? Give me a break. If that were true, America wouldn't be so messed up. If we had so many believers, America wouldn't be messed up like it is. So I don't know. I doubt that's the reason. But for some reason, if you wake up soon, tomorrow or any time between now and January 20th, and you see that Russia is stirring things up, I want all of you, old and young, start following the news between now and January 20th. The apps are all free. Get CNN, Fox, Al Jazeera. I've got them all. BBC, you name it. I got them all. And when something happens, they just start lighting up. And I, my Middle East apps light up first. They're the fastest out of the gate. CNN and Fox, they got to figure out how politically we're going to spin this thing. The Middle East news, they don't care. They just show you guts and all. They don't care. If you start hearing Russia goofing off like that, doing something, it'd be a good time to go to a prayer meeting. Now, if I was Putin, who I think is the most powerful man in the world right now, if I was Putin, I'd pick up the phone and I would call China and I'd say, listen, I just want you guys to know, I want to remind you guys that you've loaned so much money to the U.S. You do know mathematically you'll never get it back. U.S. is going to default on the money they owe you, because they've been printing so much dollars, their money's not worth anything. And so the only thing keeping the U.S. afloat is the stock market right now. But that can be fixed. We can Mickey Mouse that in a minute. Political scandal, terrorist attack, civil unrest across the nation, shut down the economy. You know, you've seen on the news when there's one riot in Ferguson or Baltimore, what it does to the economy of that city? Devastates it. Could happen like that. So Putin would tell China, just want you to know, you ought to think about this, because I'm going to call the little crazy guy just south of you in North Korea, who's just tested 5 successful nuclear explosions. He's biting at the bit. This kid wants to be famous really bad. You know that? He has a megalomania. He wants to be famous really bad. And he wants to blow something up. He's always blowing something up. And he hates the United States. And could you imagine right now if that little guy had his way? He'd be just punching buttons. And you're the target. And then the Iranians have sent missiles to him. ICBMs. And you can, I want you to fact check all this stuff, okay? Which is funny because, hey, have you seen the fact check, Steph? The fact checkers. Turns out they have an agenda. People need to start fact checking the fact checkers because they turned out to be a bunch of liars because they have their own political agenda. How funny is that? You can only trust God, okay? So the amazing, amazing time in which we live in, it's very precarious. And you get up, you and I have always gotten up, and we went to work, or we had our breakfast, or we went to bed at night, and we thought that tomorrow we'd wake up and the sun would shine. The days right now are not so predictable. And if Putin could get North Korea to just simply go out into the South China Sea and act up, that's all they have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is act up. All that they need to do is to act silly enough that Japan or Taiwan or South Korea picks up the phone and says, you guys better get some ships over here and flex some muscle or else they're going to take us. The only problem is, we have too many aircraft carriers that are broken as of this moment, and they're in port. We just recently had an F-18 crash because now we find out that the United States naval aviators don't have the parts to keep the planes flying. Sounds like Russia, 1980, right? So things are going off in the South China Sea, and we send support there to flex our muscles to cause them to back down. And at that moment, if I was Putin, while we're out there in the South China Sea, I would start acting up in the Middle East if I was Putin. In fact, why fiddle around anymore with the Ukraine? I'd take it all. And I would join ranks with our buddies, which they don't love the Iranians, but they have a mutual war agreement to protect one another in the event of a war. Did you know that? The Iranians and the Persians and the Russians have a military link. Do you see how quickly something could happen? ISIS could overreact because Russia does have to get rid of ISIS. Right now, ISIS is being allowed to survive by the Russian government. The Russians could destroy ISIS in 1 week. We haven't been able to destroy them in years, or that ideology. Russia, for Russia, ISIS is the useful idiot. This is a very amazing issue. Because Russia will support Assad, the president of Syria. So ISIS could get desperate. And it could go right back to what we mentioned a week or two or three ago right here in this place where Isaiah 17 tells us that Damascus will blow up and never again ever be inhabited by human beings. Could the Damascus situation that the Bible says will happen, could it precipitate the Ezekiel advancement of Russia into the Middle East to seize Israel's riches and oil and gas? See, Russia needs oil and gas because, as I said earlier, it takes about 93 cents out of a dollar for Russia to get that oil in the bucket. The United States, it's down to pennies because of fracking. We are completely self-independent, but Russia's not. Russia's desperate right now. The bear, you know, the Russian bear, the bear is desperate. And the geopolitical situation has never been this unstable in my lifetime. Vietnam was something. I was just a little kid, but I heard with my dad the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban crisis. How many of you, listen, if you're, this is kind of fun. Look, tonight is absolutely blown. I was going to say, let's turn to Isaiah. But we need to say this before something happens. That's how critical it is. You need to know this. And listen, somebody remind me not to shut tonight down, though, without mentioning out of Isaiah 30, the warning. Just say, Jack, you were going to say something about the warning from Isaiah 30, okay? We need to hit on that for just a second. But you guys, the situation right now, if you are, let me think. If you are under, is this right? Maybe you can help me. If you're under 50, can you raise your hands if you're under 50? Oh my gosh, put your hands down. How many of you are over 50? Under 50? Under 50? It's almost 50-50. How funny is that? That's amazing. Actually, that's great. That's great for a church, you know? No, I mean, it's beautiful. I think if you're like over 50, do you remember? I remember in San Diego, and I remember in OC growing up. Do you remember? We grew up where an alarm would go off in class. Yes. And we would duck and cover from a Russian nuclear attack. Remember that? Those of you who might be familiar with the area of Los Alamitos, all the way out to Cerritos, and as far possibly as the western end even of the area, I remember there's a strawberry field in Garden Grove where I thought it was the coolest thing in the world to see in a strawberry field. Are you young people here? Listen to this. This is not a video game. Driving down Lamson, I think it was. And these doors, I mean, you don't know they're doors because you're looking at the ground. The ground goes like this. And up out of the earth came that six-pack. It was a six-pack, six missiles. I think there were Minutemen strike missiles at the time, and they would wash them from time to time, and there'd be Navy guys and Air Force guys out there. And as a little kid growing up, I thought, that's awesome! And I never put it together that all those were facing north and west towards Russia and China. And I never put it together that the duck and cover drill and don't look outside, cover your eyes. Cover your eyes! In the event of a nuclear blast, get under your desk and cover your eyes. But you know, you tell people that to make them feel better, to justify things. I don't know. But I grew up like that. I grew up like that. Many of you agree. Many of you understand that. The young generation, they don't even know what I'm talking about right now. And that's a danger because you can be lulled into a sense of security and not be secure. Because now it doesn't take a 7.5 minute missile strike just north of Alaska to hit us, to wipe us out. Because an atmospheric EMP bomb can disable you. I mean, all kinds of things. It's a very, very interesting time in which we live in. I say all this to just tell you, make sure that your life is anchored upon Jesus Christ. Because God's word is true. We have lived in the most blessed nation the world has ever known. But our country has forgotten God. These global events, for the Christian, We better not be surprised by them. We need to be like the sons of Issachar, that the Bible tells us they discerned the times in which Israel lived, and they knew what Israel ought to do. You need to make sure that your personal walk with Jesus is a reality. You need to stop letting divine things intimidate you, like prayer meetings, or being dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit. You need to make sure you have the Bible active in your own life, not just Sundays or Wednesdays. If you've been meaning to tell someone about Jesus, hurry up. If your kids or your wife or your parents or your husband or your relative claims to be a believer but is not walking with the Lord, go talk to them. If we're granted the opportunity, because listen, God's on his throne, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to be careful that your desire is a biblical desire. Because God's on his throne. Right now we live in peace. And you should always desire the mercy of God. Because family, listen, with all this looming issues that are happening, it is possible that God from heaven would hear his people cry out. You remember who his people are? Those who are called by his name. It's not just Israel, but those who are called by his name. It may be that God would hear our cry and spare. You know, God reserves the right to stop the clock. You know, he does that. He's done that throughout history. Hezekiah was slated to die, and he cries out to God. And God stopped his death, nation upon nation. If they would have cried out, God would have spared them. He says so. Again, Nineveh. How many times did he do it to Israel? I'm wondering what would have become of Germany if the church would have stood up and prayed and asked God to stop Hitler. Did you know that? God would have listened. Here's my concern. Is he hearing from us? Is he hearing us cry? At a time like this, when we of all people, the Christians, should be so in touch with what's happening in the world, that this, is it this week? Today's Wednesday. Is it this week that the United Nations declares the Temple Mount in Jerusalem a holy Muslim site only? That the Jews have no right to it? You've got to be on drugs. You've got to be demon-possessed or willfully ignorant. Are you kidding me? All of this, a sign of the times. Not to scare you, as Ed Heinzen says, but to prepare you. To be prepared. If we don't cry out to the Lord, I'm reminding myself, in Isaiah 30, which we never got to tonight, there is a warning there that we'll study next week together. And the warning goes like this. Because Judah did not obey God, God says, okay, you're on your own. And watch this. He says, one man will cause 1,000 of you to be in fear, to flee. And more of them, just a handful of them, but more of them will cause the nation to flee in fear. All because Israel or Judah did not seek the Lord and cry out to him. And church, I want to encourage you tonight. We need to seek him and ask God to have mercy. Because I know the temptation. The temptation is to kind of just wait till the end comes. It's almost like there's a sense in America where people are feeling, maybe Christians, we give up too easily, by the way. There's just a sense of, well, it's over, and the Bible prophecy is what it is, and let's just stand there. It's like you're going down to the beach because the tsunami's coming. That's insane thinking. That's hopeless thinking. Listen, you may want to kill yourself, but there are a lot of other people who are not saved yet. So we need to pray that God would spare this nation maybe one more generation or maybe just 10 more years. But there's this bizarre fatalistic mind in the thinking of Christians. I've never seen it like this before. Ever. Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to go crawl into my hole and give up. Now listen. And don't, with what I'm about to say, it's well calculated. So don't write me like I somehow stumbled upon this and offended you. I'm very, very premeditated to what I'm about to say. If you have a hard time with it, then you got to go deal with it at home. You show me somewhere with all that's at stake in this upcoming election, from our own local election here in town, school board, for example, to the presidency of the United States. It's almost as though Christians have taken stupid pills. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Let's be honest. I don't even think there's a Democrat that likes Hillary. So let's be fair. Both of them are crazy. One is weird and the other one should be in jail. Truly. No doubt about it. One should be in jail. The crimes that she's committed, you would be in prison for life. The other one, crazy. Guess what? You're going to have to take this up with God because God expects you to choose one of those two. Well, I'm not going to vote. Well, listen, when you teach us how to be so holy like you and perfect, do let us know. But here's the deal. Thousands of people bled to death, blown up, killed themselves in wars, so that we would have the freedom to vote. Listen, when I go vote, I don't like either one of the candidates, but when I go and vote, I'm going to be honoring the dead. I'm going to be honoring every veteran and every first responder. I'm going to be honoring every concerned citizen of this nation. And you know what? This has nothing to do. This is not the Donald Hillary show. You think it is? These ridiculous comments about him and her, it's not about them. They think it's about them. They have forgotten God. They don't even know God. This is the deal. I know God, and this land belongs to God. And here's the deal. I do not have the responsibility or the freedom or the whatever to tell God, I'm just going to take my talent, which is my gift to present to you. I'm going to take it, you know, voting in a free country. To defend it, I'm going to bury it in the ground because I don't agree with both of the candidates. And when you come back, then I'll give it to you and you can have it back. You ever heard that parable before? Yes. Christian, in this church, you better not do that. Because you'll be taking what people gave their lives for you to go do and burying it. And if you don't vote, then the other person gets your vote by not voting. You need to understand the math on that. Politics is a science. And the math is very amazing. So here's the deal. If you don't like either candidate, what do? It's so simple. It's so simple. I told you the other day, go to the platforms and read it. Go to the platforms with your Bible open and read about the platforms. So I don't like Hillary. I don't like her either. Well, I don't like Trump. I don't like him either. Go to the party. You're going to pick something. Go to the one that's pro-life. Plain and simple. Go to the one that defends God's view of marriage. It's not for your opinion. It's God says this is marriage. Go to the one that says defend Israel. It's right here in the Bible. Those three things. Slam dunk. Slam dunk. Yeah, but not everybody in the Republican... Okay, that's a Republican Party platform. Not everybody in the Republican Party... Of course not. Of course not. Listen, I'm not asking you. I'm asking you to go taller. I'm asking you to stand taller. I'm asking you to rise up above the lunacy of these two people. And understand that one of their parties that takes power is going to appoint the next line of judges that will rule your child's life. Do you love your kids? Do you love your grandkids? Do you love your country? Then listen, one of the parties believe in a living constitution. Doesn't that sound sweet? A living constitution. Sounds wonderful. Living constitution. Guess what a living constitution got us? It got us Roe v. Wade, the abortion of babies, 1973. The Democrats believe in a living constitution. They believe that it changes with every generation based upon interpretation. Guess what? I'm going to show you, not now, I'm going to show you a clip. In the last presidential election, Hillary Clinton was fantastic. She got up and she talked about what kind of judges she would appoint to the bench. And I'm going to show you her own words, and I'm going to ask you if that's okay with you. The Republican Party stands for the Constitution. No changes. You leave it alone. It is what it is. It's endured for 260 years. You just leave it alone. You got to pick. And then I'll end with this. I had somebody stop me in the foyer. I told you this, I think, a couple days or whatever, weeks ago, whatever. This person stopped me in the foyer and said, "Wow, you know what? I'm a Democrat, but I'm really bummed. I'm not even going to go vote in this election." And I said, "Why not?" "Well, because I don't believe in my own party anymore." And I said, I don't understand what you're saying. You don't believe in your own party, so you're not going to vote." "Nope." I go, "Why?" "Well, I can't." "Excuse me?" "Well, I just told you I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to vote because if I vote, I have to vote for Hillary." I said, "Who told you that?" "Just why I called my union." True story. I called my union, and my union told me, they asked me if I was a Democrat. And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, as a Democrat, you must vote for Hillary." She goes, "I have to vote for Hillary." I said, "This is a general election. It's not a primary. You can vote anyway. You can vote upside down. You can vote standing on your head if you want to." Do you understand that, everybody? Did you? I have never heard of such a thing before. Exercise your biblical right and freedom to honor God, because God loves babies, He loves Israel, and He said marriage is between a male and a female. Listen, if you, and I just want to be, I want to be crystal clear on something. God says that's what marriage is. Don't think California or yourself can reinterpret what marriage means. If you're a homosexual and you want to have sex with the same gender and live in the same house and do what you do, that's, you can do that. Did you know that? You can do it. You can do all that stuff, but you just can't call it marriage. You could call it marriage, but God says it's not. I just want you to know that, because He invented it. He's the one that made the label. Nobody made the label. You can't argue with that. Man didn't make that up. This is a free country. You can live any kind of sex life you want to live. It's okay. It's between you and God. It's your choice. But God says He's for babies, He's for Israel, and He's for marriage between a male and a female. And that's how you have to vote. And so listen, tonight, don't sit it out. Don't sit it out. "Well, I guess I got to vote for the less of the two evils." Look, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't excuse you from voting. You've got to look beyond. Think big. Really big. Supreme Court, military, think about that, the economy, think about parental rights, the Constitution. Think about it. Yeah, that's a good one too. Democrat parties for open borders. Listen, every nation, God says, "I established the borders of nations." Did you know that? God says that in the book of Daniel. We just need to enforce the laws that are on the books. But you guys, being a Christian is being wise. I really have no respect for Christians that say, "Well, you know what? I'm just so heavenly minded. I just don't get involved in those things." You know what? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's what the deal is. We need to be truly heavenly minded so we are earthly good. Okay? So next week, Isaiah 30. Let's do pray though, church. Let's pray. Can we get up and turn around and get on our knees? Can we do that if you're able physically? Father, we come to you tonight and we confess just the attempt at prayer. We feel so insignificant and so unworthy to talk to the Creator of the universe. Father, we pray for our nation and the nation that our children and grandchildren will inherit. In the last 15 years, we've seen such a drastic and dramatic shift in our country. It's as though we're drugged and we can't think straight anymore. And that we're under a judgment, as it were, of stupor. And Lord, speaking to you, the Holy, Almighty, Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, that to speak to you, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we ask you, Father, that you would intervene as our nation is a mockery in the world, our politics a disgrace, our military broken, our dollar busted, our borders skewed, our families broken up, our children molested, our streets are violent, our cultures polluted, our computers pornographic, our minds selfish. We are a nation, Lord, that has forgotten you. And we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would awaken your church to do the right thing. That we would do righteousness. That we would stop looking at the plank or the speck in our brother's eye and see the beam in our own. And God, if we don't like the way things are going, that we would start fasting and praying for Hillary and Donald. If we really cared, that we would start rending our clothing and crying out with strong crying and tears for our country. If we really believe that you're the righteous judge, then we'd be sick tonight. We would join with Thomas Jefferson, who confessed that if we were to turn away from you, your wrath would not slumber long. We ask for mercy tonight, Father. And I pray tonight, in the hallowedness of this moment, God, that if there's someone here tonight that does not know you, that they would have heard the things tonight, all these various global issues are pre-recorded in your Bible. That before it's too late, they would even tonight say, Jesus, come into my life, cleanse me of my sins, make me ready for heaven, wash away my sins, save me, God, have me live for you. And Father, I pray that this church would get as small or as big as you see fit, but just make it healthy. Make this church, God, I pray, cause this church to be a Philadelphian type of church found in the book of Revelation. Make this church, Father, one that would never deny your name or refuse your word. Do what you must in our midst. Do what you must with us as individuals and as a church. But we do pray, Lord God, that what you do would not be contained to the walls of this church. But Heavenly Father, you might bring revival. And whenever you have brought revival, you've started somewhere. And I'm asking, we're asking that you would start here. With me, with us. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.